please give a rousing hand to Joe Martin.
You know, this idea is pretty simple, isn't it? One God. And I know we're going to talk about that. The old Franciscan bishop or friar, Franciscan friar, William of Ockham, had it right. And he said, basically, entities should not be multiplied unnecessarily. Now, that's a good line. Entities should not be multiplied unnecessarily. Simple is better than complex. We had an award given. I was in the Arizona State Sociology Department for a while. I was a graduate assistant, and I met with the faculty. And every year, they gave out the Talcott Parsons Obfuscation Award. Who could take the simplest notion of sociology and expand it into 500 or 600 pages? And that's what I'm afraid we've done. We've taken the simple things of God and obfuscated them. Okay, Jesse, now here's your, what else do we call it?
Supererogation.
We've obfuscated this thing. We've complicated the simple. And in fact, if you have a Jerusalem Bible sometime, check out Ecclesiastes 7:29. It's beautiful. Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made man simple. His complex problems are of his own devisings, Tom. Now that's his, you know, God made us simple. And our complex problems are of our own devisings. We've created those things. But let's just go over this for a minute. I want you to, you know, the title of my mini sermon before my paper is Shout or Shudder. You know, it's based on James 2. The demons believe there's one God, and they tremble or shudder. So you can even either shout hallelujah to the fact there is one God, or you can shudder. Oh, I'm going to have to deal with him one day. And that's true. You can either shout to the oneness of God or shudder at that. Several times in the Bible, in Hezekiah's letter in 2 Kings 19, you don't have to go there, but Hezekiah says, "You alone, Yahweh, or God, you alone." And he says that twice. And I looked up, there's about 12 times, "You alone are God." And when you get into Isaiah, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah 45 to just calm me down and let the scripture flow. And that's what I pray happens today. It's so simple. What happened that we complicated it so much? Isaiah 45 begins, it's the Lord God of Israel talking. And he says in verse 5, "I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, and there is no other." Would you shout hallelujah for me?
Hallelujah.
There is no other. Yahweh El Shaddai, Yahweh Shema, God is there. Eloheinu, Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. Verse 5, "So I am the Lord, there is no other. Beside me there is no God. I will gird you though you have not known me, and that men may know from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I am the Lord." Going down, "Thus says Yahweh," in the end of the verse, "surely I am with you. There is none other, no other God." I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know you know this, but I just want to remind you of this. I am God, and there is no other. David said it in the Psalms, God alone. Hezekiah says it, God alone. Paul says it, 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." One God. What part of one, as Brother Dan said last night, what don't we understand? What part of one don't we understand? Let's do look at that passage in James 2:19 to just emphasize this a little more. Of course, you know the Hebrew for hallelujah is praise you, Yahweh. And so I think we need to either shout or shudder at this great truth of the oneness of God. Either shout or shudder. James 2, verse 19. "You believe that God is one? You do well." I like that. You do well. You do well. This is a good thing to understand that God is one. But other beings, entities,
know that God is one. Look at what it says. The demons also believe, but they shudder at the thought. Entities must not be multiplied beyond necessity. There is one God. So God said it, David said it, Hezekiah said it, Jesus said it. Mark 12:29, when he's asked, what's the great commandment? Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ahad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's so simple. God made man simple. His complex problems are of his own devisings. And then you go to Jesus. How have we obfuscated Jesus? Same way. Same way. We've taken the simple, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Matthew 16:16, Peter's confession. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's so simple, isn't it, Robin? It's so simple, and yet we've confused that. You are the Christ. With Jesus, let's remember, Ori, now, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So is this thing about Jesus being the Son of God versus God the Son the truth? Well, let's listen to God. Hallelujah. God said at the baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Got it wrong? It's pretty simple, isn't it? This is my beloved Son. Peter testifies later on, I heard the voice from on high. From majesty, I heard the voice from God talking to Jesus. I verify this. And then at the transfiguration, three words were added, but the same thing. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Shades of Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up a prophet like unto you, and I will put my words in his mouth. And if people don't listen to those words, I myself, God says, will call them to account. This is God's Shalia, God's agent, God's representative. As Moses was God to Pharaoh, Jesus, according to Sir Anthony Buzzard, is legally God to us. He's our agent, right? Amen? When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That's what he's talking about. Not that he is the Father. I'm sorry. So God says, this is my beloved Son. What did Jesus say? John 10:36. Now, just to preach at you just for a minute, you know, the Pharisee says, you're making yourself equal with God. That's the rebuke. The rebuttal is what? John 10:36. They were saying, you're making yourself equal with God. But Jesus says, the Father sanctified and sent me into the world. You say, I'm blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. So what did Jesus say? I am the Son of God. Brother Kent, I was looking this up and I said, did anybody hear him? Was anybody listening to Jesus? Yes, they were. Matthew 27:47-43. Just back up to 41. In the same way, the chief priests, Werner, the chief priests, the top dogs, the main men, the chief priests, along with the scribes and elders, those who said, Tony, let his blood be upon us and our children. Oh, now you can say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on those, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders who said that. Let his blood be upon us and our children. They were mocking Jesus. They were mocking him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. He's the King of Israel, he says. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The chief priests acknowledged what he said. The elders acknowledged what he said. The scribes acknowledged what he said. When will Christianity acknowledge simply what Jesus said? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's simple, isn't it? And you're going down to the demons are even shouting, you are the Son of God. Mark 3:11. Philip, you are the Son of God. Paul, you are the Son of God. Just for Paul, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:19. 2 Corinthians 1:19. By the way, the term Son of God is used 43 times in the New Testament, according to my Bible, Works 8. Son of Man is used 88 times. What's Jesus' favorite term for himself?
Son of Man.
Son of Man. What does Numbers 23:19 say Brian, remember that? Chuck, right there, y'all lined up. So,
God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Wait a minute. God said, Chuck, I'm not a human being. I'm not a son of man. Jesus says, I am a son of man. The seed of the woman, the offspring, a human being. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I never thought about that verse until I was rereading Numbers 23:19 in class. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man. So he's not a human being. We're in his image. We're in the likeness of God, but he's not us. But Jesus' preferred term for himself was Son of Man. Hallelujah. Verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. It's not complicated, folks. It's not complicated at all. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us. What's Paul's testimony? Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. For as many of the promises of God in him, they're all yes. Can someone shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I hope you aren't shuddering at the notion that God is God and Jesus is the Son of God. The simplicity of that.
Okay, if you on your tables, you should have a little paper there. And I'm going to just walk through that a little bit if I can find my copy. Yeah. I was playing with this. I've read some very good books lately, and I'll just call your attention to some of them. The one that really kind of tweaks my interest is the second edition of James Dunn's Unity and Diversity in the New Testament. Because he's got a line in here that says, in some areas of the early church, first and second centuries, some areas of the early church, what is now considered heterodox. By the way, that's Galatians 1:6, another gospel, heterodox, hetero, other, you know. What is now considered heterodox was the main form of Christianity. Hallelujah. Those who had the simple Jewish monotheism was the main theology of those times. What is now considered heterodox, Jesus is the Son of God versus God the Son, was the main form of Christianity. So I've been reading that, and I'll pull a lot of quotes out of Dunn. But when Dunn said that, he was talking about Walter Bauer, great German, Werner. You know, Bauer. Bauer, Arndt, Green, Gingrich, and so on and so forth. He had a book, Orthodoxy and Heresy in Earliest Christianity. And he's basically saying the same thing. Basically, in the majority of the area, what is now considered heterodox or heresy was the main teaching of the church. Hello. Being heterodox in a homodox ghetto. Now, remember, if you had the world as 100 people, people talk about consolidate the entire world into 100 people. Over about 50 are Asian, by the way. That's why I think Steve Ahn is so important. Steve Ahn reaching out with Abrahamic faith. About 50. Only Adam, 30 plus or minus, are Christian. So in the context of the world, we are still a small portion of the entire world's population. Please do not forget that. You still live in a ghetto, if you will. You know. So this particular quest for me began when I was reading Unity and Diversity in the New Testament. And he says on page 3, Bauer has shown there is no pure form of Christianity that existed in the beginning which can properly be called orthodoxy. And Bauer is using the term orthodoxy in terms of CO. And sometimes in the paper I have CO implying current orthodoxy. Dunn says you should not speak of orthodoxy in the early church. You should speak of orthodoxies. There were many teachings. The next line. In fact, in many places, it is more likely that what later churchmen call heterodox Christianity was the initial form of Christianity. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's super. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a good Jew of 40 AD, Jesus' time, 10 years after Jesus, saying, eternally begotten, or God of God? No one in those days thought Messiah was going to be God. Amen?
No one. I'm sorry. No one. He was going to be the representative. He was going to be the agent. He was going to be the Eved Yahweh, if you will, the suffering servant of God. Reread Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, 53. The suffering servant came. By his stripes we are healed. That's who Jesus is. The coming king, the seed of the woman, the descendant of Abraham, the descendant of David, born in Bethlehem, the one who was to bring us salvation through his sacrifice. Sorry, that was a preaching moment there. We are now considered, most of us in this room, I'm assuming, we are now considered heretically orthodox. We who are now considered heretically orthodox should rejoice in that statement that in the first centuries of Christianity, we possibly were the orthodox. Though there were many orthodoxy. And since Time magazine says that the re-Judaizing of Jesus is one of the top 10 future revolutions. There you go, Steve Taylor. Truth revolution. Chuck, you're going to show that later on. There we go. Since then, the re-Judaizing of Jesus is one of the top 10 future revolutions. We may be on the right track in getting back to the real Jesus, the quest for the historical Jesus. What did Jesus preach and teach? Kingdom, Mark. What did Jesus talk about? The Father, Abba, Yahweh, God Almighty. We might be on the right track. And my point is that now Orthodox, to say that what is now Orthodox was in the first centuries, in fact, heterodox or heresy in terms of Scripture. No one believed the gobbledygook of the creeds. That's a Punkin Center term for obfuscation. No one believed the gobbledygook of the creeds. Now, I have an addendum where you can read the creeds, and I bolded some of the phrases in the creeds. I could only find one that had any notion of Scripture. You know, and we'll look at that later, but eternally begotten and God of God and very God. Secondly, now that orthodoxy of the first few centuries has become the minority in the Christian community, and that today's orthodoxy in church traditions radically influenced by Greek philosophy, which Brother Joel is going to very wonderfully present to us. He did some of that at Christian Worker Seminar. What are we to do? Is it better to be heterodox in this supposedly, homodox Christian ghetto? And let me build on that for just a minute. What am I talking about? Homodox. If you talk to anyone, what's one of the first, do you believe in the Trinity? Or do you believe in the, you know? And so everyone is writing that down. It's almost homodox. Everybody's believing the same thing about Jesus. The Seventh-day Adventists, Advent Christians, you know, 100 years ago had this just about right too. But what happened? Well, we just want to fit in, don't we? We just want to. What's the greatest pressure in high school? Peer pressure. Yeah. Oh, I just want to be like everyone else. So you fit in and you try to join in. And the homodox community says you must believe in the God revealed in three persons. The Bible never says that. Just as a testimony for Atlanta Bible College, you know, we tried to talk to ABHE, which is used to be AABC, American Association of Bible College, now Association of Biblical Higher Education. That is the accrediting association for the United States for small Bible college. Did you know that? Did you know what the board of directors must sign every year to be in that group? What was it, Kent? The Trinity. We believe the God is expressed in three persons, the Father, Son. You have to. So guess what? We aren't able to sign that. I don't think Anthony would sign it. Do you? Isn't it? It's homodox. Everybody in the Christian ghetto believes this. Folks, everybody doesn't. Everybody. And everyone. I love the phrase, and we'll get to it later, just 77 times God says, they shall know that I am Lord. They shall know that I am Yahweh.
And folks, people are coming to them. By the way, the latest, Anthony had 6.5 billion. I saw Brother Dan had 6.7 billion. Yesterday, or at least 2 days ago, the population now is 6.8 billion. It's, you know, and I suggest it is okay to be different or heterodox when others think we should be all alike, homodox, in this ghetto or current orthodoxy, especially if we're going back to the biblical statements of faith. Amen? If you're going with the Bible, let God be true and every man a liar. Lesson down in the next paragraph. My suggestion is that the revolution of re-Judaizing Jesus, which I pray you think is great, let's help current orthodoxy, CO, and this community of Christians in what the Bible says about God, about Jesus, the church, the kingdom. This is a beautiful verse from Paul, isn't it? Let God be true and every man a liar. I know that's a call of Reformation time as well, but let God be true and every man a liar. And yes, that includes you and me. If there's some way that we're off of Scripture, we need to be tweaked as well. And I would suggest there's a couple things you got. Only me and thee are truly faithful. And sometimes I'm not sure about thee. We all need to look at this, don't we? We do. But they've gone too far. I did a sermon at Carolina Conference. Some of you were there, but I basically said the same thing. Jesus in Mark 17, thus you invalidate the word of God by your tradition. What are the creeds? They are the traditions of the church. That's all. We have invalidated the word of God, the simplicity of one, by our tradition. Amen? 40 times Jesus says, my Father. 10 times he says, my God. Jesus is talking to someone, and he's not schizophrenic, folks. He's not talking to himself. He's not talking to himself. He's talking to Abba. He's talking to his Father. 43 times he says, Son of God. 88 times he says, Son of Man. And again, I remind you of Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should pray. Jesus said, Jesus is the Son of Man. He is not God, yet not way. We've complicated the simple. We've obfuscated the straightforward. We've super, help me, Jesse.
Arrogated.
We super arrogated the simple. Isn't that something? My mother would not let me say stupid, so how about keep it simple, saints? Amen? You know the old army saying, keep it simple, stupid. Have we complicated the simple? And I would suggest you have. From possibly the closest apostle to Jesus, John, we read these words in 2 John 8:9. Watch yourself. Watch yourself that you don't lose your full reward. But we have accomplished that so that you may receive your full reward. Anyone who goes too far, and that was my basis of my sermon in Carolina. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. I thank God that He is the judge and I am not. I cannot say that others will not be saved, but this sure puts a threat, a possibility on it, doesn't it? What does that statement mean, goes too far? I believe it is the very foundation of the current discussion with current orthodoxy, CO. What have Greek philosophy and creeds or worldly philosophy to do with the biblical Jesus? And I tell you, nothing. I talked to Joel on the phone the other day, and he was going over, you know, and these dudes, you know, Socrates, Aristotle, hundreds of years before Jesus, they were talking about a divine logos. And it wasn't Jesus, folks. It was, you know, an entity other than Jesus. Do not multiply those entities, according to Mr. Occam. Gone too far. The hoi polloi. I found that in Bauer's discussion. The hoi polloi is the majority, often termed like those ignorant people. Since Dunn and others have referenced Bowers, I followed him for a while in his book and part of that foundation. To me, it's similar to the quest for the historical Jesus, Albert Schweitzer's. Schweitzer got us back to what Jesus taught. Not that Schweitzer believed it, but he got us back to what Jesus taught, kingdom of God. So Bauer got us back to the notion that what we now believe was not necessarily what they taught in the first century, first and second century. Bauer notes in his introduction
majority and minority can change places. In fact, he suggests they did, and I do believe that. No good Jew would have thought about a notion of Trinitas. He further says they did. Jumping to the final chapter, the beginnings, he concludes, east of the Phrygian Hierapolis, by the way, that's just inside Asia Minor. Just inside Asia Minor, and you take it all the way over to the Seleucid dynasty, you know, Syria, Iraq, you jump on down all the Middle East, you go down all through Africa. He says, look at this. We can hardly discern any, those are not my words, those are about, we can hardly discern any traces of orthodoxy. And he's talking about current orthodoxy. We can hardly discern any traces of orthodoxy. That means all the way over there, current orthodoxy is generally not there. Isn't that? Until Constantine, I would say it wasn't even in Rome. Now the hoi polloi, the current orthodoxy, is in control of much of our ghetto. But reviewing Harnack, Bauer says that back then the heretics considerably outnumbered the orthodox. Another summary point, no one can call that a falling. They didn't fall away from orthodoxy. They fell into the lies of Greek philosophy. Further, he suggests that those changes enhancing what is now current orthodoxy may have a price. And that's what the Greek philosophy. Listen to this quote. The advances that Christianity makes in pagan world have to be purchased by means of a conscious or unconscious. Listen to this word. Compromise. You take the simple and obfuscate it. You take the simple and you muddle it up. You make it gobbledygook that no one can understand. Homoousios, homoousios, eternally begotten, round square. Everyone think now, round square. Think real hard. Think round square. Eternally, it doesn't make sense, does it? Does it? I think Occam was right. Why do we complicate this? The advance is an unconscious compromise with the syncretistic spirit of the times. Yes, everyone wanted to get along in Hellenism. Yes, everyone loves Plato. Yes, the Aristotelian method. Yes, the Socratic method. Yes, these are all wonderful guys. But folks, they don't know a hoot about theology.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
The Greeks messed it up. And we, because of our love for Greek culture, democracy, and all the other wonderful things, have messed it up. You gotta love this. He suggests two factors that can help. The Hebrew Scriptures. Woo! What a novel idea. And the teachings of the real earthly Jesus. Now that's pretty cool. That's why I've been. I'm really into this Bible Works thing. You can click a word that I clicked I the other day, folks. I shows up 8,674 times. I singular. And about half of those are related to God. I. Okay, I jumped ahead. They've gone too far. They're eliminating the Lord God Yahweh. They're eliminating Yahweh. We can counsel him out all we want, said the Catholics. We cannot speak the word. The Jewish system. Oh, we can't say the name. But the verse says, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Brother Joe preached a sermon on. By the way, a lot of this I got from Joe, and we'll get to his sermon. Christianity is 3,000 miles wide and 3 inches deep. Only, you know, what was it? Most Christians could name only two of the Ten Commandments. And guess what they were? Something about not steal and not covet. They forgot about the one God. 3,000 miles wide in the U.S. and 3 inches deep. That's a good line. Yeah. We have to get back to Yahweh. His name occurs 6,007 times. Singular, you know, nominative, Yahweh. It occurs 6,828 times in its variations. And I have, you can see that in Appendix A, but don't go there. Stay with me for a little bit. 77 times it says, I am Yahweh. There are between 15,000 and 20,000 personal pronouns. And I looked them all up. The Bible works 8. I, 8,674. Me, 4,041. My, 4,861. You, 14,442. He, 10,317. Him, 6,120. Singular. As Anthony has pointed this out many times, singular. Yeah, there's a little muddle over this Elohim, the majestic plural, but singular pronouns always and verbs. And I got on this kick the other day. I've been walking through my Bible, and I don't want to show you all my secrets. But in my Bible, I would come to something where it says God and Jesus. And I'd put no T over here. You know, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, no T. You know, and so I came up with about 450 verses in the New Testament, Dustin. 450 verses that distinguish Yahweh and Jesus. God and Jesus. God and 60 times it says God and Jesus. 450 times there's a distinction. To me, a fairly clear distinction. But maybe I'm confused. Maybe I've been super interrogated or whatever it is. Maybe I'm confused on this. But what part of and is complicated? You know, what part of one don't we understand? What part of and Dan? Dan spelled D backwards is and. No, it's not. I'm sorry. I messed up. Almost. It's a simple Greek word. Chi. K-A-I. Chi. And. Robin and Joe. Rebecca and Joe. You know. Kent and Cheryl. What part of... So, 60 times, I'm telling you. So, you need to write that now. Appendix A is that God and Jesus, 60 times. Would you write something down for me under Appendix C? I've got about 450 verses. Rather than just say numerous verses, folks, 450 verses. If we have time, we'll pick out any book of the New Testament and I'll show you the clear distinctions between Yahweh, God, and His Son, Jesus. We'll look at that. And this is from my paper from last year, but in Yahweh Bible Works, you know, Yahweh, 6,007, to Yahweh. 577, in Yahweh, and Yahweh, from Yahweh, like Yahweh, the Yahweh, who's Yahweh? What part of Yahweh don't we understand? The latest, greatest leadership magazine. Now, you got to love this. This is one of the top magazines among Christianity, right? On page 18, woo, the name is Yahweh. And now, who is this Holman Publishers? Can somebody remind me? What denomination are they kind of affiliated with? The Baptists. Holman and Broadman? Maybe they're consolidated. I thought it was... The Catholic said, we can no longer pronounce Yahweh. The Baptist says, we're going to put it in. Now, by the way, this Bible does not come out until October 2010. I think it's what God is doing. They shall know that I am the Lord. There will be a clear distinction. They shall know that I am the Lord, and they shall know every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People are going to know. So, but we have a part in this. You know, I appreciate Brother Dan's internet. So the name is Yahweh. So we've gone too far in creeds and tradition. I'll kind of jump through this pretty quick because I want to have a few moments for question and answer as well. Dunn states, to affirm Scripture as a criterion of truth of the gospel must also mean that Scripture be allowed to function in criticism of tradition. What a beautiful idea. I think Jesus said that in Mark 7. You do nullify the Word of God so by your tradition, so let Scripture tweak your traditions or your creeds. I would suggest forget the creeds, you know, cancel the traditions, start having biblical statements of faith. A New Testament verse is 1 Corinthians 4:6. I've applied these things so that you may learn from us the meaning of the thing. Do not go beyond what is written. Do not go beyond what is written. Also had in there Proverbs 30. Don't add to his words or take away, or he's going to rebuke you and prove you a liar. I do not want to be proved a liar by God. Be just like Jesus in quoting Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written, and let the word speak for itself. Jump on down to the last statement in that. We, the church, needs, cancel off the S there. I got excited typing too. We, the church, need to reconsider the cry of the Reformation. Semper Reformandus, we need to always be reforming according to Scripture. Amen? Every one of us, everyone need to tweak what we believe. Just go with Scripture as much as possible.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we've gone too far with from the kingdom message, you know, and the teachings of Jesus. You know, what part of here is of the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I think Jesus spoke Aramaic. We had a big discussion on Cock Pastors. But I also think he knew Hebrew. He studied. He went to the temple. The main text there was Hebrew. Now, I think he also knew some Greek, maybe some Latin. But I think he would know Shema, Yisrael, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Ehad. I better put one finger. One finger. And he's not unclear about the second. Love your neighbors as yourself. So I'm not saying be mean to current Orthodox people. I'm saying we need to love them and just keep pounding the straight biblical truth, right? Keep pounding the straight biblical truth. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Ooh, that hurts sometimes. Even those who claim to be Christian don't really have the Bible. Especially when Christianity is 3,000 miles wide in the U.S. and 3 inches deep, where half the Christians don't even know the first book of the Bible. They couldn't name Genesis. I think the specific stat that Joe gave us in a sermon recently was 49% of Christians don't know that Genesis is the first book. And I messed this last one up because I was so excited. 2/3 don't know, only 30-some percent knew that Jesus taught and preached the Sermon on the Mount. 2/3 of Christianity do not know that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. Dave, where are you going to take that? Bruce, where are you going to go with that? Thank God for a renewal and a revival, even a revolution in the primary message of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Every student and scholar worth his salt now acknowledges the apocalyptic preaching. Dale Allison, you know, Bart Ehrman, and all that. They acknowledge, they may not believe, but they acknowledge. Dale Allison does believe. He wants us to carry on the tradition until the kingdom comes, Matthew 24:14. And so I've appreciated the work of my former professor, George Ladd. Anthony and I went to see George Ladd one time. He brought Kingdom of God back into mainstream evangelical theology, if you will. And so let's not go too far from the teachings of God, of Jesus and his word. They shall know that I am the Lord. Will you shout? Hallelujah, praise God, amen. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. Again, hallelujah, praise God, amen. All right, let's look at the appendices for just a minute. Okay, A, that's 7,000 times about what part of that don't we understand? Appendix B, and the Greek word there is chi, 60 times. And you can work the context. The ellipsis there is to let you know, since I didn't want to take away from Scripture, to let you know there's other Scripture there, and they are in Appendix C. So you might want to dig, but God and Jesus, the Father and I. John 17:3, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus. So there's a God and there's a Jesus, the Messiah. Hallelujah. I ascended to my God. I, my God, and. So, you know, what part of and? So you can look that over a little bit. Look at Revelation. Him and Jesus. To him sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God and the Lamb. God and Jesus. You know, any of Paul's letters, pick out any of Paul's letters, it's God and Jesus. You know, look at Timothy. God, 1 Timothy on that top of that page. God and Jesus. Grace and mercy and peace from God and Jesus. There's one God and one mediator, Jesus. The presence of God and Jesus. What part of and don't we understand? 450 verses. You know, 450 verses. Look at Acts. God raised him. You know. God attested, Jesus attested, a man attested by God. God raised his servant. The Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord. 20, you know. By the way, 21 times, where is Jesus in the New Testament? Right hand of God. 21 times, Jesus is at the right hand of God. So is Jesus psychologically complicated, schizophrenic? Now he is God? No, not at all. God raised him. Okay. So I'm going to let you play with that if you would like. But to me, it's so simple. Son of man, 88 times. Son of God, 43 times. Son of God, according to Colin Brown, implies. What was the quote, Anthony? The Son of God,
by nature of that statement. Colin Brown says, therefore,
be called Son of God in the Bible means you are not God.
Listen to this, folks. Colin Brown, full of to be called Son of God in the Bible means that you are not God. Pretty simple, is it? Check all those out. I'm not trying to belabor the point. Just for the fun of it, on Appendix D, you have some creeds. And I put, you know, italicized. You might check those out in Bible Works there out of your program. Eternally begotten? Well, there is a verse that says he came down from heaven in John 6. But we all understand the context of that. The manna, the bread of life. You know, I am the bread of life come down from heaven. And the Holy Spirit is to be worshipped and glorified? The Holy Spirit, And then the Chalcedonian Creed. You might check out Complete in Godhead, Reasonable Soul, One Substance of Godness. So, to me, they're just obfuscating the simple. It seems like they're obfuscating. Okay, one more time, Jesse. They super arrogated. They super arrogated the simple. Just for the fun, on the back, just a couple quotes. Super arrogate. You'll have to write it down for me, Jesse. God assigned us to revolutionize re-Judaizing Jesus. Revolutionize revolution, re-Judaizing of Jesus is the main one right now that we need. God assigned us to occupy the earth, not abandon it.